在那边讲完道。
The last time I preached here,
福弟兄就跟我讲，我姓福，不姓陈。
My translator told me my last name is Fu, not Chen.
我记得以前，我记得他跟我讲过同样的话，不过有一阵子我就忘掉了。
Well, I kind of forgot what he had told me before.
今天我们跟大家分享这个题目，说起来是一个很有趣，但是却是一个非常严肃的一个题目。
Today I'm sharing on this topic. It's kind of interesting, but also very serious.
诶，这个往前走，是往下走是吧？哦。大家看了这张图吗？人生呢有很多的岔路口。
You can see, as in this image, there are many forks in the road in your life.
我们常常要做一个抉择。
Many times you have to make a decision.
那么这结果呢，就跟你的选择很有关系了。
Of course, the consequence is related to your choice.
我们做工程师啊，各位都知道我做过很多年的工程师。
I worked as an engineer for many years.
那工程师里面，尤其你要去建造一个大的计划。
When you plan for something big in engineering,
你常常要用 CPM.
Usually you need to use the CPM.
你就说 CPM 什么东西？
So what is it?
然后或者用 PERT.P-E-R-T
or an approach called PERT.
那么去找出一条很重要的路径。
To find out a critical path.
上次记得我跟大家分享那个码头的计划吗？
The last time I shared you my project of building the harbor.
那我们跟日本人有 joint venture 一起建造那个码头。
Well, we constructed that harbor jointly with Japanese.
那么我们公司负责22大项目。
Our company was in charge of 22 of the projects.
那么你在这些计划里面哪一个要什么时候动工？其他的计划，因为有一些工程项目，当你做的时候，其他的项目还不能做。
You need to plan well the time of each project because the timing is related one to another.
所以你就必须找出一条路径。
So you must find out a route.
然后这个路径一个 path.
A path.
一个路径呢，它可以严格的控制说，这条路径走完的时候，我这个计划就做完了。
So that path will follows perfectly. The whole process of the construction.
所以那一条 path 叫 critical path.
And we call it the critical path.
所以这个方法叫 CPM.
And it's called the critical path method.
那么 PERT 是一种 evaluation 的一个 program.
And PERT is a program of evaluation.
我相信在很多做 business 的人也很熟悉 PERT.
I believe many who major in business are very familiar with this concept.
所以我你就会想啊，我人生道路这么多岔路啊，怎么样去选择呀？
You may think, well, I face so many forks in the road in my life. How can I make the choice?
那工程师啊，什么事情都喜欢用工程的方法。
And engineers are accustomed to use their methodology in engineering to decide everything.
那我做了牧师以后还用工程师的方法。
And I still rely on my engineering approach after I became a pastor.
我以前从我家到办公室上班呢。
So on my way from home to my office.
那我就发现了走来走去有八条的路径可以走。
And there were 8 paths in total.
那我每一条路径都走过好多次。
I tried every one of them.
我要找到一条路径，我可以从家里到办公室时间最短，而且一定在我的控制时间之内可以到达的。
And I tried to figure out the best path that take the shortest time and I can control the time it takes.
那上班的时间 highway 是不能走了。
Because I could not take the highway when it's the rush hour.
后来我就找到一条 critical path.
And finally, I found a critical path.
这条 critical path 上面有22个红绿灯。
And there were 22 traffic lights on this path.
有四个 stop sign.
4 stop signs.
那我走这条路的时候，我就发现我可以控制在22分钟之内到达办公室。
So when I take this path, I can guarantee that I can arrive in my office within 22 minutes.
那我是很不愿意让人家觉得我是迟到的人。
So I'm a very punctual person.
那我有的时候也不想去办公室去得太早。
But I don't want to be there too early either.
所以在这种状况之下，你就必须要有个 critical path.
And so in that case, you must find your critical path.
那在我们的人生岔路里面，
So when you face a fork in the road,
又有很多岔路。
There are many options.
你要走对了路。
You must, if you follow the right path,
你可以继续走下去。你看，人生的岔路里面是不相交的。
These alternative paths may not cross.
它不是收敛，它是发散的。
So they go into every direction.
Divergent.
They're divergent.
那这个这种情况之下，你如果走错了怎么办？
What if you take the wrong path?
回头重新走一次。
Well, you may turn back and shoot the other way.
你如果够高的话，你看到三级线，这个 ridge, the 山 mountain 的一个山的级别。
You stand on a point high enough, you can see the outline of the mountains.
那么下雨下下来。
And when it rains,
那这边的水就往这边流。
The water will flow one way.
那么这边的三级线，这边的就往这边流。
And the water on the other side of the mountain will flow the other way.
就像我们的人生岔路一样。
It's just like the path we face in our lives.
中间不相交的。
They do not cross.
所以走错了，要回头走。
If you take the wrong one, you won't turn back.
那么在我们的人生道路当中，我们当然想到财富带给人希望和欢乐。
So when you need to make a choice, of course you're aware that wealth might bring you pleasure and hope.
另外呢，我心的深处。也渴慕永生。
At the same time, you also thirst for eternal life deep down in your heart.
那耶稣在我们在圣经里看耶稣的教导，他就是教导人生里面有两条路，两个门路。
And in the Bible, we also see Jesus teaching that there are two paths for you to take in your life.
那有一条路是宽大的。
There's one wide path.
我知道你走过去这条大路的时候，这结果不是那么理想。
But the outcome is not good.
有一条路是窄门。
And there's a narrow.
窄路进入窄门。
There's a narrow road leading to a narrow.
那有两种果树。
There are two types of trees.
那也有两种不同的根基。
And two kinds of foundations.
其实耶稣在这边整个的教导。他其实要告诉我们，你不要看你认为想要的路去走的时候，就一定是一个好的结果。
So Jesus was basically teaching that it might not be ultimately good for you if you just follow the way that you see as ideal.
那么所以呢，今天我们就来分享看。难道耶稣说的话是不是值得我们参考呢？
And we will see today if Jesus' teaching is right.
那么在这里我们第一个就看见耶稣呼召了一位青年才俊。
So here we see Jesus calling a very promising young man.
这个年轻人是少年得志。
Well, he enjoys success when young.
十分富有。
And very wealthy.
那道德高尚。
And he's a man of great virtue.
奉公守法。
He respects justice and abides by the law.
家教良好。
And he has he shows very good education.
圣经上说他渴慕永生。
And the Bible also says he longs for eternal life.
那有人说，哎，薛牧师，圣经里面从来没有说过他家教良好。
Someone made my question that the Bible never says he has very good family education.
但是如果你看平对观福音的三处圣经里面的平行经文。
But if you read the other two synoptic gospels.
那么有一段经文里面说他来看见耶稣的时候说跪在耶稣面前来见他。
This young man ran up to Jesus and fell on his knees.
那按照当时代的一个背景来讲，这跪着并不是像我们今天想象的那种跪的意义。
Falling on someone's knees does not mean the same thing as in our day's culture.
那当时有礼貌的人来见夫子的时候，一定会跪着来见的。
So it was very polite for someone to fall on his knees to see a rabbi.
那这个父母亲可能从小就教导他这些应该有的礼节。
And probably his parents had taught him all these manners.
所以他是家教很好的一个年轻人。
So we could see that this is a man of good manners.
青年才俊。
He's a very talented youngster.
那么在教会里面呢，也有许多的青年才俊。
There are many talented youngsters too in the church.
我记得我有两年在曼谷的时间，参加这个曼谷的一个淮安堂的崇拜。
So for 2 years, I served in a church in Bangkok.
那么我的负责年轻人的事工。
And I was in charge of youth ministry.
那个时候我也很年轻，我也20多岁。
And I was in my 20s also.
那我带的孩子都是15岁到20岁这样的一个年轻的族群。
And my group members were mostly teenagers.
那我们这些族群当中有一个男孩子。就相当于描写像这个男孩子。
So one of the boys in my group was just like this young man.
青年才俊。
A very promising youngster.
长得很好。
Very good looking.
然后唱诗也唱得很好。
He sings very well.
你知道在教会里面呢，有这样年轻人的时候，那些有女儿的妈妈们会怎么想吗？
You know what ideas the mothers in the church would have when there's such a good-looking young man?
其实都很正常的嘛。
Well, it's very natural.
你有一个女儿，你当然希望这个女儿能够嫁给一个有前途的年轻人嘛。
Of course, if you have a daughter, you would want her to marry a promising young man.
那么很多的妈妈有时候就来跟我打交道。
So many mothers came to
talk to me. 表达他们的想法。
And hint me their ideas.
那我们在台北会幕堂，我的母会是台北会幕堂。
And when I served in my home church in Taipei.
台北 Tabernacle、
Tabernacle.
那么我们这个教会里面呢，也有一个年轻人。
There was also such a young man.
哇，这个家里非常有钱。
Who was from from a very wealthy family?
是很有权势的一个家族。
And also a very influential.
最难的这个年轻人不但长得好，他背景好，而且他非常爱主。
So this young man was not only wealthy, good looking, but also very God fearing.
那他现在已经做传道人了。
And now he's a minister.
那当初我在教会，我那个时候是教会长老。
At that time, I was in the church's elder.
在我们教会里面，好几个家庭对这年轻人都很有兴趣。
And many families in the church were interested in this young man.
那么，甚至于造成一些彼此不太愉快的经验。
Even to the point that there were some conflicts.
这是一个年轻人。
So, this is the young man.
青年才俊。
Promising young man.
那么，在这里。耶稣说，你看，耶稣说，看着，看到他就爱他。
And the Bible says, Jesus looked at him and loved him.
这很奇怪啊，就是耶稣爱人不是很普通的一件事吗？
Well, of course, Jesus loved the world.
那为什么对这样子一个年轻人就说要爱他呢？
Why it says here Jesus looked at him and loved him?
其实这个爱字啊，从我的观点来看呢、啊，更重要的是怜惜他。
So from my point of view, Jesus feels mercy for him.
他什么都有了。
So this young man had everything.
但是呢，耶稣看到他有三样缺乏。
Now, however, Jesus was aware that this young man had three difficulties.
他怜惜他是因为他看到他有三种，现在三种困境里面。
And Jesus saw very clearly that this young man was trapped in three difficulties.
第一个困境就是他不真正认识耶稣是谁。
Number one, this young man did not really know who Jesus really is.
你从耶稣在圣经里面描写耶稣问他，他叫耶稣叫夫子，有的经文里面古卷说善良的夫子。
So this young man ran up to Jesus and called him good teacher.
耶稣就问他为什么称我是善良的。
But Jesus asked him, why do you call me good?
其实耶稣在提醒他。
Actually, Jesus was reminding him,
这个只有神是善良的。
Only God alone is good.
你叫我善良是什么意思啊？
What do you mean by calling me good?
你真的认为我是从神那边的神差来的儿子吗？
You really think I'm the son of God sent from him?
那么我相信耶稣知道他还不认识耶稣他自己是谁。
Probably he did not know who Jesus really was.
耶稣其实要告诉他，他就是神子耶稣。
So Jesus was telling him he was the Christ, the Son of God.
他不认，但是他耶稣认为他不认识，他陷在这样一个困境里面。
So the young man could not recognize him.
令人很诧异的，今天一些教会的领袖对神耶稣是不是神的儿子这个信仰本身还有一点动摇。
To our surprise, many church leaders of our days even have questions about if Jesus was really the Son of God.
那么在历史上你可以看这个中间很多的神学思想啊异端里面也有好一些人不承认耶稣是神的儿子。
So, even in history, there were many heresies,on this aspect.
所以耶稣要提醒看到他这个有困难。
So Jesus identified this problem in him.
所以每一个人来到教会耶稣可能也提醒我们你们来教会敬拜神你们一定要很肯定的知道耶稣是神的儿子。
So for everyone who comes to church to worship him, God intends to remind every one of you that Jesus is the Son of God.
如果我们不缺少了这一块，我们的信仰是极不完全的。
And your faith cannot be complete if you do not recognize this.
第二个一个错误的思想。
The second problem is that this young man had the wrong idea.
他认为可以靠行善得救。
He believed that he could earn his eternal life by with good behaviors.
还有一个困境。
And there's another difficulty.
那么这个困境就是他有两个阻拦的因素。
So this young man had two obstructions.
一个叫自义。
One is self-righteousness.
第二个叫贪财。
The other is greed.
我想啊，我们在教会里面讲到财啊，很多人就把自己从这个里面撇开了。
So whenever we talk about money in the church, many people immediately think, well, they themselves are spared of this problem.
我想我们没有那么高调说我不爱钱，不爱财富。我想这可能有点太高调。
I don't want you to boast that you absolutely do not want money.
但是如果你对财有贪念，贪这个财的话，就在这个里面。
But if you are greedy for money, you have this problem.
有的时候我们讲这个财啊，你知道我在读大学的时候，我们大学毕业要申请读研究所。
So after graduating from college, we all applied to the grad school.
那么那些女孩子就会讨论。
And those young ladies would discuss.
你要去申请一个学校。
You should apply to a grad school.
要申请一个有名的大学读研究所。
You should apply to a very prestigious grad school.
因为那个你所碰到的男孩子的那个才。不是才子就是才子。
So you would become, you would meet either a very talented young man or a very rich young man.
这翻译得很好，他已经讲完了。前面的才是才华的才。
So the first kind of person is a very talented young man.
后面那个才是财产的才。
Or the other kind, a very wealthy young man.
也许我们在我们的处境里面，我们对财产这一块呢，就过去了，好像跟我没什么关系。
You may not admit that you have money with money or wealth.
在北美的教会里面呢，那个第一个财啊，那个财就很普遍。
But the greed for the talent is actually very common in American churches.
很多人可能不贪财产的财，但是非常贪恋。那个才华的才
because many people very cherish the young talents.
那处处暗示人家我是有才华的人。
And they cannot stop hinting at other people that I'm a very talented person.
我就想到我自己啊，来美国读 PhD 的时候。
So when I was doing my PhD in the US.
那我的这个论文的 committee 里面呢，有好几个老师都说，哇，江老师真是非常。有才华。
So many professors in my committee always said, "Wow, Jonathan is really a genius."
这个说的比我还严重一点。他们真的是用 genius 来形容我。
Yeah, they literally called me genius.
哇，我被灌米汤啊，灌得迷迷糊糊的。
And I felt very proud.
哎呦，然后我就忘掉我自己是谁。
And I forgot who I really was.
我想我真的是很有才华的人。
And I really think I was a genius.
贪财。
So I was greedy for talent.
在这里啊，这两种财都能叫人自义。
And both talent and wealth can make people proud.
这两种人是拦阻的因素。
And these are two obstructions to faith.
耶稣就挑战他。
So Jesus challenged this young man.
挑战他做一个完全人。
Challenge him to be a perfect man.
其实这个可能用 perfect 讲的话有点过头了。这边的完全，因为有的经文上解释说完全就是说你还缺少一件。
So in the other gospel it says you still lack one thing.
不完全的那个不够完全。
You're still incomplete.
对了，叫 complete， 这个就是所谓的完全。在这里，耶稣其实是让，因为耶稣看到这个年轻人有点自义，他有钱财，他自己觉得。耶稣问他：“你做了这个没有？做了没？”他说：“我通通做了。摩西五经里面讲的十个条例，我全部做了。”耶稣说：“其实你还不完全。”
So Jesus saw clearly that this young man was kind of self-righteousness. He boasted that he had abided by all the laws in the Old Testament, and he was well achieved.
然后就挑战他。
So Jesus challenged him.
说你若愿意做完全人，可以去变卖你所有的，分给穷人，就必有财宝积在。财宝在天上，你还要来跟从我。
So in Matthew 19:21 says, Jesus answered, "If you want to be perfect, go sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me."
这个少年人听了以后，有一个圣经上说，变了脸色。
So after hearing this, the young man went sad.
悠悠愁愁地走了。
He went away.
我在想啊，今天在我们的这个堂会里面呢，耶稣也许借着圣经的话要问问你啊。
So today Jesus might be asking our congregation this question through this verse.
问这个年轻他悠悠愁，因为他财产很多啊。
This young man was upset because he had great wealth.
哎，问到你啊，你也许才华很高啊。
So your problem might be that you have a lot of talents.
如果说耶稣说你来跟你变卖这些，你把这些放弃了，你来跟从我。
And if Jesus challenged you to go and sell all this to follow him,
你会不会悠悠愁愁的走了？
Will you went away? Will you go away sad?
下面跟大家分享，丢弃羁绊来跟随主。
And so next, I want to encourage you to shake off all the fetters to follow Jesus.
哎呀，耶稣看到这个年轻人呢，这么悠悠愁愁的走了。
So Jesus saw the reaction of this young man.
他说啊，这个财主进天国比骆驼穿过针眼还难呢。
So he commented to his disciple that.It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven as a camel to go through the eye of a needle.
那教会就辩论说，这个耶稣真的说，这个在神能够让骆驼穿过针眼吗？
In church history there are many debates, what this metaphor is about.
那这个重点不在这里。
But this is not the point.
这个重点是一种加强的比喻。
So the point is that this is a very sharp contrast.
虽然这么困难的事情，
No matter how hard this is,
你有才华要进天国，好像比穿过针骆驼穿过针眼还难。
For a man of great talents, it might be hard for you to enter the kingdom of God as a camel go through the eye of a needle.
你有财富。要进天国，好像比骆驼穿过针眼还难。
If you have great wealth, it might be as hard for you.
门徒就非常懊恼啊。
Then the disciples became very upset.
那这样谁能够进天国呢
？And they ask, then who then can be saved?
谁能得救呢
？Who can be saved?
耶稣说，在人不能，在神凡事都能。
And Jesus said, with man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.
耶稣是神的儿子。
Jesus is the Son of God.
他说这个话难道不能兑现吗？
So he cannot keep his promise?
我们相信耶稣是神的儿子。
We believe that Jesus is the Son of God.
他说的话一定会兑现的。
So his promises are faithful.
他不说谎话的。
He never lies.
他的话，他的应许一定要成真的。
His promises are never empty.
那历史上其实有一些人都是按照耶稣的方法，都是很有钱的人，然后他跟随了耶稣。
Actually, many rich people, in history followed Jesus in this way.
那么有一个以前有一个信徒，他叫 Zinzendorf， 大家不知道听过了没有？
You might heard of the name of Zinzendorf.
Yeah， Zinzendorf 很难记的，我就后来我就想，最好把它翻成青菜豆腐，你就容易记了。
Well, I remember his name in Chinese by by calling him greens and tofu.
或者说清蒸豆腐也可以。
Or steamed tofu.
那你就记住这个人名字。他就是把他是一个爵士，他很有钱才华的一个年轻人，他就把他放下来然后跟随耶稣。
So this was a man of nobility and of great wealth, but he forsake everything.
在宣教史上是很有名的一个人。
And he was a great figure in the missionary history.
那圣经上也有一个税吏叫做撒该。
And there was also a tax collector called Zacchaeus.
那他也是愿意把钱财，他贪人家的钱财，结果他要还四倍，那他不是穷掉了吗？
He returned all the money he had gained by fraud, and he returned all the people four times the money he owed.
他就跟随了耶稣。
And thus he came to
follow Jesus. 我们都熟悉这故事的。
We might be all familiar of this.
这个人个子不是非常高的。
He was not a very tall man.
耶稣来到他爬到树上去看他的。
And when Jesus came, he climbed on a tree to watch Jesus.
那么大家熟悉的圣法兰西斯在教会历史上也是很愿意把钱财放出来的人。
And Saint Francis was also a very generous man.
耶稣的话在这些人身上都兑现了。
And Jesus kept all his promises to them.
重点就在我们的心智。
Well, the key is your heart.
我们当我们愿意做的时候，再难的事也都能。
With God, all things are possible.
跟从主，什么叫做跟从主？
So what does it mean to follow the Lord?
跟从主就是舍己的意思。
So it means to deny yourself.
舍掉你的自我主权。
You need to give up your own sovereignty.
弃绝自我这个假神。
And to reject the idol of self.
事实上你在拜自己，常常拜自己。
Actually, you're often worshipping yourself.
背起你的十字架来。
You need to take up your cross.
什么叫背起你的十字架？
And what does it mean to take up one's cross?
当你背起十字架，你看同自己已经是如同已死的人。
So when you do so, you count yourself already dead.
当耶稣背起他的十字架，走在往哥哥他山顶上这条路的时候。
So when Jesus took up his cross and walked to Calvary.
那么他不会再想其他事了，他在法律上已经宣布他已经是一个死人了。
He could not have anything else in mind because he was already sentenced to death.
我们如果是要背耶稣的十字架，
If we want to carry the same cross of Christ,
耶稣或者背起我们跟随主的这个十字架，
Or you want to take up your cross to follow, to take up your cross to follow Christ.
要看自己如同已死的人。
You may want to count yourself dead.
埋葬世界上的愿望和梦想。
You need to bury your worldly desires and dreams.
这是耶稣，你看圣经里面，耶稣和圣徒所有人都是这么想的。
This is the example of Jesus and all the saints in history.
你把你所有的原来的都放弃。
You need to forsake everything you dreamed of.
我们都知道使徒跟从主。
We know that all the disciples follow the Lord.
为主舍命。
And died for him.
今天的基督徒，大部分的基督徒可能为主付一点代价都不大愿意。
Most Christians in nowadays wouldn't be willing to pay a very little price for him.
甘地啊，印度的甘地啊，有一次他在英国读书的时候，他就讲了这样一句话。
So Gandhi once said that.
但在四周围都是一些基督徒，希望他能够做信耶稣啊。
So when he was in Great Britain, he was for a period of time he was surrounded by a group of Christians.
他说啊，如果基督徒都能够按耶稣所说的去行，我们都变成基督徒了。
And his observation was that if all Christians lived up their faith, live up to their faith in Christ, we would have all become Jesus, Christians.
教会里我们实在是常常软弱的信徒。
Most of us are very weak believers.
我们不愿意走十字架的道路。
We're unwilling to take, to follow the path of cross.
不愿意舍己。
We do not want to sacrifice ourselves.
我们紧紧地抓住一些我们想要的东西，绝对不放弃。
We hold tightly something that we really want.
我有一个座右铭，请你们看一看。
This is my motto.
我不知道以前有没有跟你们谈过这个。
I'm not sure if I have shared with you this.
我刚信耶稣受洗，1962年，4月22号，我受洗。我们教会有一个大哥哥，就送了我这段经文。
So, when I was baptized in April 22nd, 1962, a big brother in the church gave me these sentences.
这个不是连续的经文，是段落的。我们一起来读一下，可以吗
？Let's read it together.
来，请。
主为我死，
我为主活，并且他替众人死，是叫那些活着的人不再为自己活，乃是为替他们死而复活的主活。欲为主活，必须先死，对罪死，对己死，对人的称赞死，对人的毁谤死，对世界死，身上常带着耶稣的死，使耶稣的生也显明在我们身上。这个其中有10个死字。
In this paragraph, it mentions die 10 times.
然后生字只有活字只有5次。
And only 5 times to live.
那么有一个生字。
And one time the word life.
那我自己的经验，我常常希望为主死。
I wish I could die for the Lord.
但是我死掉的东西还会复活的。
But the thing that died in me might come to life again.
我生活在挣扎当中。
I live in struggle.
我相信很多人跟我有同样的经验。
I think many people are in constant struggles too.
所以这就是我们在世界上生活，走在主里面的一条路。
This is our way of life.
但是我们还是要学习舍己。
But we should constantly learn the lesson of self-denial.
这个之所以成为我的座右铭，就是我天天几乎常常要提醒自己。
So this has been my personal motto and reminder every day.
在这里，舍己就等于什么？像自己死。
So self-denial means to die to oneself.
那么舍己在这里说，舍己是人的整个生命在神的国度里安顿下来的状况。
So here there is this quote saying that self-denial is the state of a man whose life has entirely rested in the kingdom of God.
那么这个学者前几年刚刚过世啊。
Dallas Willard actually has passed away, just passed away a few years ago.
那么他是近代很有名的灵修大师之一。
So he was a great devotional writer.
他说，我们常常不能够在神国度里安顿下来的原因就是没有舍己。
So he pointed out that we could not rest in the kingdom of God because we haven't died to ourselves.
哇，我现在想想，我现在想通了。这个，你奥古斯丁啊，或者巴斯卡，你知道有一个又是科学家又是神学家的这个巴斯卡，大家都熟悉的。
You might be familiar of Saint Augustine or Pascal, who was a scientist and philosopher.
那在他的神学思想分享里面，都讲到安息这一块。
He talked a lot about rest.
其实你真正的安息就把你自己放下来。
So rest means to put down yourself.
你如果不肯放下你自己，你就不容易有安息。
If you cannot put down yourself, you cannot find rest.
我们读一下，舍己就等于向自己死。
Let's read this together.
请。
舍己等于向自己死。
你自己要向自己说，我记得我。那个时候刚刚信耶稣，那时候我初三了，然后这个写这个给我的是读大学的一个大哥哥。那我现在想想，哇，这个大学生能够把圣经这样子一个重要的道理浓缩成这一句话，很不容易啊。
So when I was baptized, I was only in the 9th grade, and the brother who gave me this was just in college. So I think.It is very great of him as a college student to write something like this.
那他现在 也是很有名的一个牧师了，大牧师了。
Right now he's a very famous minister.
我不愿意讲他的名字，不再夸奖人。但是总而言之，这句话是我天天要思想的道理。
And this motto has been something for me to ponder on every day.
我在读神学院的时候，有这么一件事让我对我冲击蛮大的。
So when I was in seminary, there was this very marking event.
那么这个课程，这个课程叫做灵命塑造课程。
So there was a course called the Formation of a Spiritual Life.
那么你对主的认识如何？
And it challenges us to point out how much we really know God.
那如果有十这一条线上有十个点，你把你自己认识主的情况，你会点在哪里呢
？So from 1 to 10, where do you spot yourself?
这里他讲到说，如果你更认识他，你就会更爱他。
To know him more is to love him more.
哇，我很 troubled 问这件事情，我很 troubled。
So when I was first asked, I was very troubled.
有两个层面。
On two levels.
第一个，我们学工程的人，什么事情要点一个东西都要量化。
So as an engineer, I tend to quantify everything.
这怎么点嘛？点在哪里啊
？So how should I give myself
an exact number? 参考那个基准点在哪里啊？
So what are the parameters?
老师就这样要求啊，叫我点了，我就不晓得怎么点。第二个点，麻烦就是，我真的认识主到什么程度啊
？So the other trouble is to know how much I really knew God.
我真的爱他吗
？Did I really love him?
我那个时候我想啊，我已经，把我的事业都放下来了。
At that time, I thought, well, I have already left my professional career for him.
工程师不做了。
So I just stopped working as an engineer.
然后我的公司，我在经营了十几年的公司也把它关掉了。
And I closed up the company that I had run for more than a dozen years.
当然，我那个时候决意来到神学院读神学，中间一个原因就是。读到我们今天想起今天我们读的这个经文这一段故事。
And also, the scripture we are reading today was also one of the factors that drove me, to devote myself to ministry.
我就想，我说哇，这样子我不能因为我的这些财产或者才华就丢掉了一个机会。
So when I read this, I determined that I cannot let my wealth.Be the stumbling block.
那我自己已经事业也放下来了，要到神学院读书了。我这个什么这个工程师的执照 license， 美国的、台湾的，还有我的 paper， 我做的这些几十年的研究的成果，通通等于要放下来了。
So I thought, well, I had already given up my career, my license in the U.S., in Taiwan, my paper, everything.
哇，这些是很值钱的东西啊。
I think they're very valuable things.
那我真的很爱他吗
？Do I really love Jesus?
我想我是爱他呀。
I think I did.
但是我不觉得我认识他很多啊。
But I don't think I know or really know him.
因为这边说你爱他，你就认识他更多嘛。
But here it says to know him more is to love him more.
后来我就把经文稍微分析整理了一下。
Later I take a closer look at the text.
那我就想，我可能就在差不多六点多这个位置。
And I put myself somewhere between 6 and 7.
这个有根有据的，下面我做了一个 table。
I do not say this randomly because I figure out this chart.
这里看保罗跟彼得。
In this table, we can see where Peter and Paul were at.
初认识基督。
When they first knew Jesus.
保罗就放下自夸。
Paul stopped boasting.
那么彼得就舍了网跟从耶稣。
And Peter left his nets.
我 scale 他一到三。
So they were between 1-3 on the scale.
那么进一步认识基督。
And to know Jesus more.
那保罗就丢弃万事，彼得就撇下所有的跟从耶稣。
And to know Jesus more, Paul just gave up everything, and so did Peter.
那我就 scale 四到六。
So they're between 4 and 6.
然后呢？哎，对不起，这个更认识基督的时候。
And when they knew Christ deeper,
生命摆上。
They offer their whole life.
摆上保彼得说摆上生命跟主到底。
So Peter also devoted his entire life and to follow Jesus to the end.
那么我 scale 他七到十。
That is between 7 and 10 on the scale.
啊，我说我现在最多只能6.5。
So at that time I was at most 5.6.
因为我就到现在好像没有把自己的生命整个摆上。
Because I didn't think I really devoted my life entirely.
后来我想啊，我这个 scale 错误。
But I think I've got the wrong scale.
如果我把第一个初初认识耶稣就变成一到四，那么第二个认识了这五到八的话，我的这个 level 就提高了。
Wow. I can raise my level by adjusting the scale.
其实，这个意义不在这里。你究竟你的 level 在哪一点
？Of course, this is not the point. The point is how much you really know God.
那认识我们自己爱神的程度。
We need to be aware how much we love God.
我后来把我这个分享了给很多神学生了。
Later, I shared this with many seminary students.
他们都不讲话。
And they were silent.
不晓得怎么讲，我猜。
They didn't know what to say.
耶稣在这里挑战我们呢。
Jesus is challenging us here.
你舍己吗？
Do you deny yourself?
但耶稣也不单单叫这一天到晚要求我们舍己啊。
But this is not his only requirement.
就是我这个人又不是笨的，也不是傻的，我干嘛跟从你啊？我舍己，为什么？所谓的目的是什么？
So I'm not stupid. Why should I give up everything to follow you?
那么耶稣就谈到跟从主的一个赏赐。
Then Jesus talked aboutthe reward of following Jesus.
耶稣说你们要计算代价。
Jesus asked us to evaluate the price.
那耶稣就把属天的价值跟属地的价值整个的得失做了一个比较。
And Jesus assessed and compared the gain and loss on earth and in eternity.
你要做一个评估。
You need to do this evaluation.
耶稣说的话就是真话，他不能随便讲这些话的。
Well, Jesus did tell the truth.
所以耶稣说的每句话，我们都很认真的。
So we need to take every word of him seriously.
因为他是神的儿子。
Because he is the son of God.
他不随便讲话的。
He does not say something in vain.
是，就说是啊。
If it's true, he will say yes.
否则不是，就说不是。
And he says no if it's not.
我们来看跟从主的赏赐，耶稣怎么分析呢
？And how does Jesus do this assessment?
将有百倍的收成。
He says you will receive 100 times as much.
从在今世能得着丰富的生命。
And you will live an abundant life in this life.
那么在永世里要得着权柄
，and you will inherit authority and glory in eternity.
荣耀是的，然后这是耶稣所应许的。
This is what Jesus had promised.
很重要，这是耶稣所应许的。
This is precious because it's promised by Jesus.
我们有两条路。
So we have two paths
放在我们面前
that we face.
那耶稣也把它分析这个结果告诉你
And Jesus tell you his assessment.
那么你自己做抉择
You need to make up your mind.
我在想啊，那个时候，哎呀，我要不要全职服侍说，其实挣扎了一阵子。
So I was, I kind of struggled for a while before I devoted myself to ministry.
后来我就想，哇，上帝给我这个机会，在我已经将近六十岁的时候，还能有机会读神学来服侍教会，是一个难得的机会。
I thought it was pressure that God gave me this opportunity to go study in a seminary in my 60s.
那我。我说我绝对不能放弃这样一个机会。
And I determined that I cannot let this go.
我以前呢曾经五十几岁想进在台湾想进神学院修课。
So in my 50s, I thought of studying a seminary in Taiwan.
哇，在那个时候我看台湾的华神跟敬神敬信会神学院，四十五岁以上就不收神学生了。
Two minute seminaries in Taiwan did not admit.Students above 45 years old.
那我想这有道理，因为我后来读神学院，我就更加同意他们这看法。
I kind of agreed with them.
因为你要读神学院，特别你要读教牧学的话，就是这个 MDiv， 道学硕士的话，你要修希伯来文、希腊文。
So if you want to take a master or a doctorate, you must learn Greek, ancient Greek and Hebrew.
那我读那个希伯来文的时候，有五百个单词，我背了好几次，还会忘掉。
So when I studied Hebrew, it took me a long time to remember only 500 words.
然后我们那个老师是很年轻啊，将近四十岁，刚刚才从福乐神学院毕业的。
So our professor was kind of very young, newly graduated from Fuller Seminary.
他说我不懂你为什么会忘掉。
So this man, a 40-year-old, could not understand why I should forget those words.
我说你等你六十岁你就知道了。
I told him you would understand in your 60s.
那最近我回学校，我刚刚前几年我回学校，完成我的这个第一名啊，就是。教牧学博士学位。
So when I finished my D-min a few years ago,
那这个老师现在已经有一点年纪了。我就跟他讲了，我说、啊、我记得你讲啊，你不能了解我为什么会忘记啊。
And that professor, had gained some age, and I talked to him that I still remember that you said you could not understand why I forgot the.
哎，他别讲，别讲，别讲，我现在懂了。
He says, well, don't talk about it. Now I understand.
我很感谢神，我五十九岁还有机会进到神学院。
And I thank God
来读书。
I thank God for the chance to go to seminary at the age of 59.
那当然有些课是低空闪过。
Of course, I passed those many courses with a very low grade.
不是 many, 就是 a few.
Yeah. I passed a few courses, only a few courses.
特别是跟 language 有关系的、啊、读的不是太理想。
Especially in language courses.
耶稣是神的儿子。
Jesus is the Son of God.
他说的话一定算数的。
His words are never empty.
我就想啊，有人称耶稣的祷告是最伟大的祷告。
Many people say that Jesus does the most, the greatest prayers in the world.
那他的主祷文是最伟大的祷告。
The Lord's prayer is the greatest prayer.
他的论证是什么呢
？So what is his argument?
他说论证就是耶稣是神的儿子。如果这个不是最好的祷告，他一定不会用这个祷告。他教我们怎么祷告，那一定是他认为最好的祷告。
So the argument that backups this point is that.He the Son of God, and if He teaches us to pray this way, this must be the greatest way to pray.
Yeah, 我心里说 Amen.
And I say Amen.
当耶稣要求我们要舍己的时候
When Jesus asks us to sacrifice ourselves,
他说你要计算代价。
You need to calculate the cost.
于是耶稣对门徒说，若我们一起来读好了，来，请。
Let's read. 耶稣对门徒说，
若有人要跟从主，就当舍己，背起他的十字架来跟从我，因为凡要救自己生命的必丧掉生命，凡为我丧掉生命的必得着生命。人若赚得全世界赔上自己的生命有什么益处呢？人还能拿什么换生命呢？
This is from Matthew 16:24-26.
在这种情况之下，你仍然愿意跟从主吗？
And in this case, are you still willing to follow Christ?
好多年前呢，我在我们这个播道会，就是 LA 的播道会，广东堂讲道。
So a few years ago, when I preached to the Cantonese speaking congregation in the LA Evangelical,
很接近的信息。
So I shared a very similar.Message.
我就向广东堂，广东堂是我们教会里面比较大的堂会，大概有300多人。
So the Cantonese congregation was a very big one. It had kind of 300 people.
我就问他们。
And I asked them.
我那天心里有感动啊，我就做了一个讲台呼召，叫 altar call.
And I was moved to do this altar call. That
耶稣把这些比较都讲给你听了。
So Jesus has counted the gain and loss for you.
你仍然愿意跟随主吗？
Are you still willing to follow the Lord?
我就问他们。
And I asked them.
愿意的人，请你把手举起来。
Please raise your hand if you're willing.
哇，我吓了一跳。我想一定只有几个人手懒洋洋的举起来。
Well, I thought, well, there might be a few lazy hands raising up, but I was shocked.
哇。居然有200个人以上举起了手，很 firm 的举起手，我要跟随耶稣。
More than 200 hands are raised up firmly.
哇，我想上帝的灵一定在中间动工了。
I thought it must be the work of God.
哇，这些人举脑筋的人，举手的人不是脑筋糊涂的人。
Well, those were not foolish men.
他们都是能够评估的。
They counted very well.
The 他们都是 professionals.
They were professionals.
耶稣今天照样的向我们呼召。
In the same way, Jesus is calling us today.
你仍然愿意跟从主吗？
Will you still follow the Lord?
我了解，在我们 Santa Barbara 这个地方，算是相对 LA 来讲。是比较小的一个城市。
And Santa Barbara is relatively a small city compared to Los Angeles.
那么这边有照样有许多的华人，也许数目少一点。
There are many. There's a smaller Chinese community here.
但是这边也有这边的需要。
But also you have your needs.
这边需要那一些愿意跟随主的人来。把福音传给这些人。
We also need those who want to share the gospel to feed the needs locally.
把那些愿意跟从主的人来补缺这个代价，在这里传福音。
There was this need for these men to share the gospel in this city.
我相信上帝也许今天在你心里有对你说话。
So probably today, God is right now speaking to you in your heart.
我们有几个人，当初耶稣只有12个人，中间还有一个人出卖他，12个门徒跟随主。
There were only 12 disciples, including one traitor.
有一次我到加利利去。
So once I visited the Galilee.
我在看着加利利海。
And when I looked at the Sea of Galilee,
我看到附近的几个小城市
and a few small towns around.
那个城市绝对不会比我们 Santa Barbara 大
Those are towns. They cannot be bigger than Santa Barbara.
耶稣伟大的工作从那里开始
The great work of Jesus started right there.
呼召了那一些愿意跟从主的人
He called out those who who were willing to follow him.
成全了上帝上帝那种伟大的旨意。
And he satisfied the great will of God.
这里比较代价。
So, let's talk about the comparison of cost.
耶稣知道经过计算之后接受做跟随主的门徒是唯一合理的选择。
Jesus pointed out that it was only reasonable to choose to follow Jesus as a disciple.
跟我们今天的想法也许不是一致的。
It might not conform our thoughts today.
只会 以这个神的儿子来做这样的一个了解一个评估。
Only after knowing the Son of God this way.
你如果去计算
If you really do the evaluation,
跟随主的门徒是唯一合理的选择。跟随主的门徒是唯一的合理的选择。
The only reasonable choice is to become the disciple of the Lord.
生命中唯一有价值的交易
The only worthy deal in life
就是向耶稣降服
is to surrender to Jesus,
跟从他
to follow him,
行他的道路
and to walk on his path,
为他的缘故放弃我们的所爱
give up everything we love for his sake,
又把我们的所爱完全奉献给他
and devote everything that we love to him.
这个就是这个 Dallas Willard 在过世之前他写出来的一本书上面我读了以后心里很感动。
This is one of the last words written by Dallas Willard.
今天这些话也许也在你的心中做了门盘算。
So these words might be working in your heart as well today.
你愿意跟随耶稣吗
Do you want to follow Jesus?
这里有一张图也有两条路。
So I want to show you this picture also with two paths.
下面有罗马书十二章一节二节的经文。
And you can see the verse from Romans 12:2.
在我们中间很多人都被这个经文感动也把自己献上当作活祭。
Many of us were once moved by this verse and devote ourselves as a living sacrifice.
前面有两条路你要选择。
There are two paths to take.
无名的传道者有两句话让我很感动的。
So there are two verses in to the nameless missionary that moved me a lot.
是自己的手甘心放下的。
It was your own hand that willingly to put down.
是自己的脚甘心到苦难的道路上来奔走。
It was your own feet that gladly step on the road of suffering.
耶稣没有应许你来了以后会发大财，娶了一个美娇娘，或者嫁了一个王子，或者在世界上面完全的顺畅。
So Jesus never promised you to win a lot of money, to marry a beautiful wife, to do everything as you wish in this life.
耶稣说你来跟从我。
Jesus only called you to follow him.
你不但要跟从他，在跟从之前你要放下、舍弃你自己紧紧抓住的那一些。
You not only need to follow him, but also to let go everything that you hold tightly in this life.
这样你在主里面就享安息。
Only this way you can rest in the Lord.
将来还有荣耀和奖赏。
And there will be crowns and glory waiting for you.
我不知道今天主的话在你心里有没有挑战。
I'm not sure if these words of the Lord is challenging you today.
我们一起做祷告。
Let's pray.
主啊，我把这边的会众每一位都仰望在你手中。
Lord, I'm offering everyone in this congregation in your hand.
主啊，你亲自对他们讲话。
God, you talk to them yourself.
让他们真的接受你的呼召。
That you, they may respond to your calling.
愿意在这个世代里面来跟从你。
They want to follow you in this world.
你对他们说话。
You talk to him.
在他们挣扎的时候，主你也帮助他们。
In their struggles, you be their help.
感谢祷告，奉耶稣基督的圣名。
We thank you and pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
好，谢谢。